Welcome to your five for today. In the Bible account of the wedding of Cana in Galilee, there was a lot going on behind the scenes. Jesus, his mother, and his disciples had been invited, and they were known to the hosts. It should not surprise us that Jesus was there. The wedding celebrations lasted for 7 days, so we can see how the supply of wine might run out. However, we should not think of this as some wild, drunken week-long party like Freshers' Week at the beginning of the university year. Weddings and the betrothal of the bride in ancient Israel were carefully managed. This was an agricultural society, and matchmaking was part of the culture. Expectations in the villages of Israel meant that women were valued and treated with a respect that was often not found in other cultures. A husband not only needed a wife, he needed a partner in the business of carrying out his trade. They committed to one another, and from this commitment, romantic love almost always followed. Everyone knew how things worked, and one of the things that worked well was the actual wedding ceremony. The master of ceremonies was responsible to ration the wine so that it lasted for the whole 7 days and people did not get drunk. For the people at the wedding in Cana, getting drunk was not acceptable. But they would still serve the best wine first, because fruitful vineyards were a sign of God's blessing. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he was not just saving the host severe embarrassment. He was actually picking up on the words of the prophet Jeremiah. They will come home and sing songs of joy on the heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the Lord's good gifts, the abundant crops of grain, new wine and olive oil, and the healthy flocks and herds. Their life will be like a watered garden, and all their sorrows will be gone. In this act of miraculously providing the best quality wine in extravagant abundance, Jesus declared to his disciples and his mother Mary that the kingdom of God had arrived, and that everything now revolved around the timetable of his heavenly Father. Even though Jesus had fixed the problem that Mary had identified, more importantly for those who knew, there was this powerful message. The abundant blessing of the kingdom of God is to know who Jesus truly is. The disciples did not fully get it until after the resurrection, but we have the benefit of their accounts. The kingdom of God has arrived in the person of the Lord Jesus. His claims, his example, his miracles all point to one thing. If we know him, we know the kingdom of God. If we know the kingdom of God, then we know life to the full. The disciples, Mary and the servants had eyes to see what was going on. We too need to see the abundance of Jesus' blessing for us. He laid down his life so that we can live. He took our place to pay for our sins so that we can have life. He has opened the door to heaven so that we may enter in. Today, we need to have eyes to see, a heart to believe, and know the abundant blessing of God in our lives. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. O make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it.